We're on the telephone with Brad Redlin, Agricultural Program Director for the Isaac Walton League of America. The Isaac Walton League has been sponsoring Farm Bill forums this summer. Three have been held already, a couple more coming up, including one on June 22nd in Des Moines, Iowa. That'll be held, as we said, on the 22nd from 9:30 to 3:00. At the Des Moines chapter of the Isaac Walton League, located at 4343 George Flagg Parkway. Well, Brad, let's talk about your Farm Bill forums here. And, of course, the focus of these is conservation.
Well, it is. We certainly want to talk about a Farm Bill in the specific light of conservation policies and practices that people on the ground are experiencing, both in the sense of the policies that are affecting them and the practices they're using. And it's going to be important to inform then what the rest of the Farm Bill debate is about. I would hasten to add that we certainly aren't restricting the conversation from going to other related areas, because it seems like no part of the Farm Bill exists in a vacuum. They're all kind of interrelated in different ways and for different reasons. So we certainly don't want to crimp the conversation anyway, but what we really want is to have a conversation amongst folks who experience it from all sides of the equation, and hear about what we should know and what Congress should know.
Now, you've had three so far, as we said: Illinois, Missouri, and Wisconsin, as I understand it. What are you hearing? What's been the basic message coming out of these?
Well, we're hearing that conservation is a particularly popular part of the Farm Bill, and that people do use it, and it is effective for them in terms of production agriculture folks, and from people in different who have different intersections with the Farm Bill, whether they be just urban consumers who have attended summer events like in Kansas City and St. Louis, but also people who work on perhaps local food efforts, like we've seen and discussed with from the state ag director at Illinois' event that they're doing farmers markets and that sort of thing through the state fair there. And they all identify that there's these linkages that occur, and they have interests involved, but the greatest concern that's common to all of them, and is common to all aspects of the Farm Bill, particularly this year, is that we have a really tight budget. We're going to be talking about, in all likelihood, and almost all assuredness, a Farm Bill that's going to be based on cutting money rather than the condition that's been in the past few Farm Bills of where we invest additional money. But as we've always said, the commonality there is that in either way, whether you're adding money or taking money away, it's a process of setting priorities. So that's what ultimately has been the final step of each of our forums thus far, is to get some sense of the priorities that people have. And what they've identified is that conservation is a priority, other things, crop insurance is a priority. But it's definitely our effort around conservation is certainly something that's been really championed by all walks.
Now, looking at one of your news releases here, it says one way the Isaac Walton League of America is exploring to increase conservation and save federal tax dollars in the 2012 Farm Bill is to prioritize existing conservation standards. So what do you mean by that?
Well, one of the conversations that's already underway, and it's predicated entirely on this aspect of not having any money for this Farm Bill, is the existing provisions that are out there since 85 called the conservation compliance. Those things that say if you have highly erodible land, you have to follow a conservation plan to protect that soil, or if you have wetlands that are still in existence to this day that haven't already been converted, that if you want to convert them, you're at least going to have to, of course, mitigate for those. So it's, people are familiar, I think, with HEL compliance and Swamp Buster in the A community, those shorthand terms for it. And the thing about those is that in the worst-case scenario for those provisions, in other words, if somebody actually violates their soil conservation plan or violates by wetland draining, the result is that tax dollars aren't spent. So the worst-case scenario is you save money with these types of basic conservation provisions. The other side of the scenario is that they don't cost anything. So that alone is why a lot of people are turning their attention to those provisions that haven't always seen a lot of attention since they've been enacted back in 85. We're certainly joining that conversation. We want to see what opportunities there are to really achieve conservation in a way that doesn't require additional federal investments, because we can't find where we're going to find those additional investments. We certainly want to protect and prioritize investment in the voluntary conservation programs out there that producers like, need, and take advantage of. But this conservation compliance mechanism is one that's still available to policymakers and can have a real impact. And one simple example of how to utilize it where it's not currently being utilized is the fact that we see and understand the prioritization of crop insurance right now as a vehicle for agriculture support as a safety net. And insurance is a natural as a safety net. I mean, that's what it's for. If things go bad, insurance is there to help you out. That's a safety net. So the Isaac Walton League supports that. But we note certain things, like the insurance program right now is not subject to compliance. It's essentially the single form of payment from USDA that isn't subject to compliance. We think that if it's becoming the dominant way producers are supported for a safety net, that it should be made compliant with the other conservation requirements that all other programs are subject to. So that's a conversation that we think this 2012 Farm Bill is the right place to happen at.
So again, you are saying let's make crop insurance part of conservation compliance.
Yes, that's I think that's just an easy one to make. That we're seeing things like a lot of discussion around direct payments, for instance, even being transitioned into crop insurance. You know, funding for direct payments. Being some folks are saying we should cease all or part of those direct payments and instead use that money in a more direct safety net manner that the crop insurance program is. And one aspect of that we have to think about, too, is that those direct payments are one of the primary compliance mechanisms available to producers, or at least to the policy that, you know, can withhold payments upon compliance violations. And crop insurance originally was under the compliance rules, same as any other USDA payment, whether it's conservation or commodity title or any other. But it was the 96 Farm Bill that created an exemption for crop insurance payments alone. And we just think, well, the popularity of the program has been established, the participation is high, it's time to return the compliance requirements to crop insurance just like it is to every other payment at USDA.
So for the meeting coming up on the 22nd in Des Moines, you have, of course, quite a few Iowa-based folks on the program and some folks from surrounding states as well?
Yeah, well, we're particularly excited to have some real Iowa expertise, especially in the form of the Field Services Bureau Chief for the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship, Jim Gillespie, will be there to talk to folks. We have the Executive Director of the Iowa FSA, Farm Service Agency, John Whitaker, will be there to share information on Iowa and agriculture with folks. And for that matter, we have Richard Sims, a state conservationist for the Natural Resource Conservation Service in Iowa, so we can really see what conservation and Farm Bill programs are doing in Iowa and perhaps what they're not doing, to find out what people with the real expertise can share with the rest of us. And so we're particularly excited to have, again, that kind of expertise in the room to share with us. And we are having some further presentations from other folks, too. We have the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation and Nebraska Wildlife Federation are combining to give presentations about easement programs to see where things stand with the Wetland Reserve Program and Conservation Reserve Program and these types of conservation programs. We have folks also talking about the Mississippi River Basin Initiative. We have a Conservation Stewardship Program and the Environmental Quality Incentives Program. There are lots of folks to talk about the conservation programs that exist in the Farm Bill and to get really to spark, really, the feedback from the folks who were in attendance who, like I said earlier, live it every day, know the programs from a very personal standpoint, and to get their insight on them and how they like them, how they may not like them.